FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is October 8th, 2019. Well, we're seeing repo madness still taking place. Is it the beginning of QE4? Good question. We're also seeing banks in Asia, particularly in China, Hong Kong, having a shortage of dollars. Is that a form of currency control, or is there something else going on here? Hey, and what about the Chinese buying 1 million tons of soybeans? They finally cried uncle. Is this the beginning of the end of the trade war? Well, with us now, our good friend, Ned Schmidt. And Ned, your two publications are always invaluable. I'm talking about, of course, the Value View Gold Report and the Agri-Food Value View. So welcome back here, Ned. And what is going on in China?
I'm not sure the Chinese know that, you know, they're not going to play basketball anymore, I guess. That's the big thing. But as we were talking before we came on the air, the Chinese don't want money flowing out of the country. So it's more of a capital control than a currency control. What the bank has done, the central bank has done, has restricted the amount of dollars that anybody can withdraw from the Chinese bank, restricted the amount of dollars that they can take out of the country if they travel abroad. At the same time, nobody that has dollars wants to lend them to a Chinese bank.
Why is that?
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, like that's kind of funny.
They have had at least two banks get in trouble already. Now, they never said that they failed or they closed them, but anyhow, the government had to step in and help them stay alive. So that's a problem China's got, because their currency isn't convertible. And it doesn't look, I don't know what you think, Kerry, but we're supposed to meet with the Chinese, Thursday and Friday? I mean, there was a lot of people last week that thought, well, that's the end of the argument. They're going to kiss and hug and sign a super document, and the trade war was going to be over. That never was the case. Mm-hmm. And anyone that thought that was a fool. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to finally resolve this in 2 days, because the big guy's not coming. This is the final agreement is going to be between Xi and Trump, not between Lai and whoever Trump's sending to the meeting. So anybody's looking for this trade war to end is going to be disappointed.
But China did have to lose face.
Yeah, China, it's a real face issue.
Yeah, because they did lose face by having to buy 1 million tons of U.S. soybeans, which they had pledged not to do. So it seems to me that is the beginning of the end of this thing.
Well, yeah, there is going to be an end to it. And it is probably, you know, second or third step into the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. But both sides have been slowly showing some positive gestures. In other words, China has been buying soybeans. They've been buying pork. The United States has often the tariffs on a variety of things, most of the things you and I don't see.
Right.
But there's a long list of things that we have done that. So everybody's moving toward the middle, but the big issue, China is not going to suddenly become a free market economy in its entirety. I mean, China is run just like the Chicago Mafia used to run Chicago.
Don't they still run it that way?
you know, I don't think describing them as communists anymore makes any sense. I think they're closer to the way the mafia used to run. And they're not going to give up. You know, I got the liquor on the south side of Chicago, and I'm not going to give it up. So there's a lot of internal politics there. And she has lost a lot of his power, I think, that came from just him being him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think this has been a real loss of face. And they weren't ready for it. It was said they liked Obama, but they didn't respect him. They don't like Trump, but they do respect him. And they would never, never try the type of stuff.
The last president they liked was Nixon.
Yeah.
He was their kind of president.
Yeah. yeah, well, interesting. Interesting times here. So the repo market, the fact that there's not enough dollars, liquidity, what is that telling you here exactly? My theory is that a bank has failed and they're not going to release it. It's just zombified and sterilized, well, and they'll go on.
I think what happened, Terry, is people panic. Most people are never going to see a repo in their life.
Mm-hmm.
The repo is when a lender, one big bank, finances the treasury bonds owned by another big bank.
Right.
And so the lender gives them dollars, the borrower sends treasuries to their collateral account, and they agree to buy them back at a higher price. That is the interest. Now, the repo market largely existed in the treasury bond market because the big banks have to keep massive inventories of treasury bonds and bills and all other things. And that's the only way they can finance them. They can't do it any other way. Well, from March to July, the U.S. government did not issue any net new bonds. The deficit did not expand. On July 31st, they were able to sell bonds again. And from July, end of July, till the end of September, the U.S. Treasury sold $700 billion of bonds.
Hmm.
That's a lot of money. And they don't sell them on time payment. You know, they want the money up front.
It's not the installment plan, the buy now, pay never?
No installment. So they dumped these $700 billion worth of bonds on the banks, which they had to finance in the repo market. Well, the guy that was at the repo desk, he'd been taking a nap for 2 months, and it suddenly overwhelmed the system. Well, what happens in the bond market is when they're watching the yields on their screen, they'll have a screen that has a graph of the yield on various bonds, and they saw this yield ticking up. It went up to 9% or more, depending on the source. That's a flashing red light to bond traders. Something's wrong. At the same time, Deutsche Bank was selling its prime brokerage to BNP Paribas, and they panicked, and they said, somebody's in trouble. Somewhere in this transaction with Deutsche Bank, something has gone amiss. So there was a massive panic. What the Federal Reserve did is they even panicked bigger. And that's what scares me, Terry. The Federal Reserve coming out and saying, they don't know what's going on. Give me a break.
How can they not know?
The New York Federal Reserve money market desk is the money market desk. There ain't anybody bigger. And they didn't know what was going on?
It's not possible.
Well, anyhow.
That isn't possible. Come on.
Yeah,
it cannot be.
People are idiots anyhow, but anyhow. And so far in October, we've sold another $100 billion. I mean, it's only the 8th of the month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what the Federal Reserve did is they did reverse repos, which just says the Federal Reserve gave the system money.
They printed money.
And threw it. Yeah, they just gave them, you know, wrote a check. In fact, through last Wednesday, they had written a check for $172 billion. So for the last 2 weeks, the Federal Reserve has been financing the federal government. I mean, it's as clear as what it is.
It's monetization's QE4, isn't it?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and resource capital funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, and the thing is, with the spending of the U.S. government out of control, I mean, it quite literally is. In the last 12 months, the cash deficit has been about $1.1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, Gary, it's next year's election, and, you know, there's not going to be any spending constraints.
No.
Anytime soon.
If ever.
So it shows we're back in, I guess if you want to call it QE4, you could, Gary. The Federal Reserve is going to have to finance the U.S. government until such time as they rein in the spending. Now, what that does is floods money into the system. And if you look at some of the currencies, the dollar has started to develop a double top. And that's the flooding of the system with all these dollars. And there's one asset that benefits from that is gold. And that's why gold has, despite the best attempts of the street, has not faltered. Yes, it corrected. We always get corrections. But we were, what, 1506 or something like that this morning?
Yeah.
So gold is one beneficiary of this monetization that the Federal Reserve is doing. And I see nothing that says the Federal Reserve is going to sober up and not do so.
So they're pretty much locked. They're backed into a corner. It's monetized. Or what happens if they don't monetize?
Rates go through the roof. You know, mm-hmm. We have a 5% treasury bond, but, you know, in 6 months,
mm-hmm.
So they really don't have a choice.
And the stock
because what we've joke. Done in the last decade, and we have sensitized the U.S. economy to interest rates, the low interest rates, that panic would set in if the Federal Reserve doesn't hold down rates. And at the end of the month, my guess is they are going to lower rates again at the end of the month.
Mm.
I don't know what your guess is, Kerry, but that'd be my guess.
Yeah, well, the economy appears to be slowing down, right? So, and you've got all these other countries which are printing to infinity. So where does that leave us? They don't really have a choice, because otherwise the dollar will skyrocket, and that'll be bad for imports or exports rather, and bad for the trade deficit, right? So what else, what choice do they really have?
They have no choice. And come back to the fact that gold is the type of asset that benefits from the flooding of currencies into the world market. I mean, everybody's trying to drive their currency down.
Yeah, rush to the bottom.
And that only leaves one direction for gold to go.
Yeah. So you think they'll be cutting again this month? That's your guess as well?
Yeah, I think they meet on, I think the announcement date is the 30th.
Right. So why isn't gold going up then? It's been kind of locked again in this little sideways channel. Kind of 1500 has become, support and resistance, if you will.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Investors don't seem to be as bothered by the stumbling around 1500. The traders, they want a catastrophe. So to get us to the high 1500s, we're going to need the traders to come in. But the investors, I mean, if you looked at silver, Kerry, silver is still amazingly stubborn.
Yeah.
I mean, there are days when the traders come in, you know, they've been trading for 6 months and now they're experts, and try and push it down. But it seems to bounce back up. It's very resistant going down. That suggests to me that somewhere somebody's buying silver. I don't know who it is. I think it's just the general investors.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I think, no, go ahead.
No, I said that's interesting that the market's that confused about things.
Markets do get confused. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the politics or floating around us, you know, any of that. I mean, just looking at fundamentals, you haven't got anything in scary yet.
Yeah.
Like the Chinese army doing more than sit in their barracks in Hong Kong. And a few of those things would drive both metals higher. I think one of the things keeping it from going higher is the Chinese have limited the amount of gold that Chinese investors can buy.
Really?
So that's, yeah, but it's the same thing with the dollar. You know, you convert your yuan to gold, and then somehow you get the gold out of the country.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, you know, they're trying to do effectively currency controls, capital controls, and those are always bound to fail because the one thing the Chinese have figured out how to do is lose money in their investments overseas. And then they've got enterprises, they've got businesses running, and the government has to relent, even though.
Yeah, as long as you've got import-export business activity going on, there's a way for the Chinese to get money out of the country. And, they've been doing this for a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
It's not like they started last week.
yeah, and let's not forget there's always Bitcoin to get your money out, right?
I don't talk. I don't know how successful that is right now. I would think a Bitcoin in China is a traceable transaction, whereas gold is a non-traceable transaction.
Mm.
So if you're Chinese trying to move money out of the country, Bitcoin is probably your last choice now, because the Chinese, I mean, they monitor everything. They're monitoring everything you do on social activity and all that. They're not going to let people slip out millions of dollars through Bitcoin.
Yeah. So here's a question. What's happening in Hong Kong right now has further put pressure on China in terms of their ability to negotiate with the U.S. because they can't just march in there and go Tiananmen Square with them, because that would alienate them. And it would be just the excuse that the world needs to really start slapping tariffs, right? So they can't just go there. That would be the end of China and probably the end of the Communist Party, because then you'd see the world rise up and react. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to be like Tiananmen Square, because Hong Kong is, to some extent, a free people, a free city, although they're trying to change that now. I mean, look what they're doing, Ned. They're wearing masks so that they can't use the photo recognition, the facial recognition, to strike down their social credit scores, meaning you won't be able to get any credit. You won't be able to go on airplanes. You won't be able to go on trains. You'll have to hitchhike across China to get anywhere, and I don't think they're too fond of hitchhikers in that country.
No.
Right? True?
That's probably true.
You could walk, like, remember that show Kung Fu? David Carradine, and he used to walk across the country and get discriminated against wherever he went. He was in the U.S., and, you know, then he'd wind up killing three people with his kung fu moves, and then he'd be on to the next town. And that's kind of what you know, no one in Hong Kong will be able to charge a meal at a restaurant if they don't stop this.
At what point do they stop, though? You go back to this thing about face, and where do they stop? If they give the protesters a victory.
Yeah, bad move. They don't have good options, right?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
They don't have any good options, the Chinese here, because any sign of letting the protesters prevail will show weakness and further encourage, you know, broader and more volatile demonstrations, which will make them look weaker still. But then if they do the Tiananmen Square route, that will be the end of their aspirations as becoming the dominant power in the world, my opinion.
I agree with you. And again, that comes back to what asset do you own in that kind of environment? The asset is gold or silver. I mean, mm-hmm. You're not interested in any of these, you know, what was it a week ago? Street was up all excited about an exercise bicycle company. Give me a break.
Peloton, that was, whose only expertise besides making products appears to be losing money. They seem to be very skilled at that. And that makes them a darling of Wall Street, Ned.
I don't understand this mentality.
I wish I did.
Buying things that lose money, Josh. I mean, Gary. I don't remember that in any of the courses I took.
Hey, you know what?
I never heard of...
Well, you don't understand, because these are millennial companies like Uber, like Lyft. I mean, I will say Airbnb makes a boatload of money. But these millennial companies like, you know, Untuckit, all right, I hate to name potential sponsors because I think their shirts are pretty cool, but I haven't been tucking in my shirts, Ned, for 10 years, and I don't need a company that specializes in designing shirts that I don't have to tuck in. And they're all over, and there's like these cotton sheet companies. I don't even know their name. They're just gimmicks. Like, it's just total gimmickry. They add no value here other than a little bit of flashy social media marketing. But I don't care if you created a shirt that, you know, that I can't, that I don't have to tuck in. I haven't been tucking them in for years. I've done very well without your shirt. Thank you very much. But you know what I mean? It's they have no substance. There's no substance to these companies. You know, they just like, they're just millennial gimmick companies, and they're kind of like student loans. You know, there's a lot of zeros and a lot of goings on paper, but in reality, how much is the government's portfolio of student loans worth? About the same as these millennial companies, gimmick companies, right? I agree.
I keep seeing these ads for web sites you can go buy socks at.
Yeah.
I don't think I need up to deliver my socks. I'll find socks.
Yeah.
Without up delivering them.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of absurd. These companies are a cure in search of a disease that doesn't exist, and eventually the market catches on and says the heck with them. And we don't need you. So, you know, it's kind of where it's all heading. Well, anyways, we got to head for the exit now. It's that time. But make sure you go take a look at Ned Seitz, the Value View Gold Report, Agri-Food Value View. Where do you think the Chinese economy is heading? Where do you think this whole thing is going to wind up? This economic war, I wouldn't call it a trade war. It's a symptom of a further economic war taking place. Where's the price of gold? Where's the price of silver heading? Let us know what you think. We're going to be having a contest shortly. Guess the price of silver on December 31st, or I should say the last closing day of gold, spot price of gold. We'll be telling you more about that, and the contest will be up shortly. Ned, it's always a pleasure, And hey, any questions or comments, like I said, email kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And of course, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up for a newsletter. Ned, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Take care, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.